that song means it's time for the garden conversation.
Good morning, Joni.
Good morning. And we have Mardell and Mandy here today.
Yeah, yes. It's been a while.
I know.
Yeah. But the gardening show has been continuing on. I've listened to the archives. In case you don't know, you can go back and listen to the archives. And so today, we tried to figure out a topic that, you know, probably most people that are doing gardens have already thinking about ordering seeds if you haven't done it already. But really, there's not a lot most of us are doing with gardening yet. There's a few people that are talking about starting some tomatoes early and whatnot. So I decided that this is the time of year that we're more relaxed and we have time to maybe do some creative things. So I went out into our community and pulled in a creative person, a person who's got one of the nicest gardens. There's many people who have beautiful gardens in Haines, and they're all different, but Mandy's got a beautiful garden.
Thank you, Mardell.
And she's very creative, and I thought this is just the person to come and talk about making a garden pretty. So that's what we're going to talk about today. So, and so when I mentioned this to Mandy, she came up with think outside the row, which I love. I think it's great. Because you can have a beautiful garden with rows, for sure. I've seen gorgeous gardens like that. But you can also have a gorgeous garden outside of the row. And so so tell me, how did you start your garden? What was your process of making your garden beautiful?
Well, when I first moved up to our spot, it was completely trashed. It had old rusty metal and an area that had been previously logged. And so I often just went and sat with the site and watched where the sun was, where it moved throughout the day, where erosion happened, and where we tended to walk, where paths would want to be. And then I just sat with the spot, and I often almost asked, what wants to happen here to heal this land?
And so
I kind of co-created with the spot. I would just get these hits of, I needed to put an arbor in one place, like I would actually see it. I would just hang out and then start gathering rocks and then
spontaneously build a bed. So I really used the what was there on the land and just took time listening to what the spot wanted.
And I'm guessing that it probably looks a little different than, or when you started, you didn't necessarily have the whole place envisioned, that it was an evolution.
No, it was an evolution. It started piece by piece. And I've been on that spot now 18 years.
Wow.
And I still feel like I'm learning every year something new.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, things change. I've been on my spot for about 16, well, I guess about 20 years, and it looks pretty different than what, if you would have asked me when I started what it was going to be, it would be different than what it is now. So, and that's part of the process, and that's part of the fun of it, too, is that you get to do it as you go. Mine was definitely not quite as intentional as yours in that my process was... to me, the most important thing was to get my vegetables. I wanted to do production. And so once I got that down and started to feel pretty comfortable that, you know, I knew what I was doing as far as getting a steady crop, then my mind went to, oh, how can I add things? So my thing is that I put flowers in with all of my vegetables. Vegetables are still my main preoccupation, and that's what I'm concerned with the most. But I add flowers, and you know one of the biggest advantages of that is that you're inviting the beneficial insects to come in. You're creating diversity in your beds and whatnot by adding in those flowers and stuff. But it's not only flowers; it's structures, it's stuff that you put in. So,
yeah, for me, I really enjoy taking little jewels or shells or broken jewelry and making mosaics on rocks in little key spots, kind of like threshold places as I'm entering my vegetable garden or my herb garden. And then those little things just add a little bit of magic to the spot. And then it makes me actually want to hang out in that area more and tend and weed and give it more love. And then another little idea comes around to do something creative somewhere else.
So what's your latest idea?
Oh, So my latest idea is I saw it in a garden. So whenever I travel, I always try to go to a botanical garden just for inspiration and just to learn, because there's so many plants out there and we get so stuck in our box of what grows in Alaska. And it's just great to expand it. So when you're in when I've been in New Zealand or Hawaii or even Seattle, just seeing what's out there and what people do. And while we were traveling, we were on Mercer Island, and I was in a friend's backyard, and she had these beautiful giant glass flowers, and I thought they were blown glass, and it turns out they were put together with recycled materials.
Cool.
And she bought her original one for about $70, but it turns out you can make it for about $5. So
out of what?
Like glass platters. And then little glass saucers and little tea light holders. And you can make all three different sizes to make it look like a flower.
And you glue them together. So you put one on top of another and you glue them together.
Yeah. So
with silicone, you said?
Yeah. So that's what I'm working on right now.
Fun.
And then it's a fun time of year to do that, because once it gets crazy, I'm busy planting and amending my soil, and you're outside doing the labor, so it's fun to have the pretties as your little prizes, you know?
Exactly, and that's why we're doing this talk right now, is because this is the time in February is when I have time to do this kind of stuff, because come May, not so much.
Yeah, yeah.
Then you're thinking about doing your soil and all of that.
Yeah.
So that sounds like a great idea. Everybody in town is now going to have little glass flowers. Talia's going to be bought out. Warning, she went and bought all of the plates for them. But yeah, there's lots of ideas. And so let's talk about some of those ideas. One thing that I think of immediately is Joni's thing. Is she has used blue bottles. She made a tree out of blue wine bottles. Is that what they are, Joni?
Yeah.
Yeah.
They're blue bottles. They're actually, you know what? A friend of ours, actually Stymie Boggs, brought those over from Skagway.
Nice.
Oh, really?
A whole bunch of blue bottles.
Yeah. And she's got them hanging in a kind of like, I call it a tree. And
it's a rebarb.
Yeah.
Just rebarb.
Rebarb. Yeah. Cool. So, and you can use bottles of all sorts of different colors and shapes and whatnot in the garden in lots of different ways. They can be hung. They can be made into trees or whatever. So that's one thing. So.
I like driftwood just because it's so abundant here on the beaches. And so when you find a piece that speaks to you or that's just really unique, you can use it as a centerpiece or a focal point. You can use a really interesting piece on an arbor or a fence. You can also use a piece as just kind of like at a threshold point walking into the garden. And then some you can even plant, almost more like an old stump that you can carve out the center and put some compost and dirt and plant it with flowers.
Or put a pot. I've seen pots nestled into, you know, pieces of driftwood.
There's a place in Juneau that has those upside down trees, and it's the roots that are that are exposed, and the trunk of the tree is planted into the ground.
What's that place is called in Juneau?
Glacier Gardens.
Glacier Gardens. Yeah.
Yeah. Glacier Gardens.
Yeah. That's right. So yeah, you could do that in your own yard and put all sorts of things up there in the top. So my experience with old stumps, I obviously am doing something wrong, because I have two beautiful stumps that I filled with soil, and they just have not done very well. And I'm not sure what that's about, but I see other people do it, so I know it's possible.
And your idea of putting a planter in it might work too.
That's what I'm going to do next year. I've decided I'm going to abandon of actually planting in the stump, so I'm going to put a pot in it that, and then have it growing out of that.
I had some stumps that were carved into, they were carved into chairs. And those attracted bugs.
Right.
So I got rid of those.
Yeah. Well, that's also part of the evolution. There are some things that I have tried that haven't worked for one reason or another, like these stumps. And so then you just go to plan B.
Yeah.
And
plan B.
That's kind of the fun of it, or the frustration of it sometimes. So
something I read in a book that I'm also going to try was creating a wishing spot or a prayer place
garden.
And I just like that. I think having a spot that you can just be reflective and enjoy the beauty of your garden, but with that intention, and however you can do that, whether it has a statue or a stone or, again, a cool piece of driftwood that mm-hmm. symbolizes something or looks like something for you.
Or a place to sit. Yeah. I'm always, when I go into somebody's garden or even into somebody's yard, I always find it fascinating where people have chosen to put their chairs mm-hmm. because it tells me that's their spot. That's mm-hmm. where they want to look at the view or look at the tree or whatever. And so it is. I think it's really important to find a spot that speaks to you and let that be your space that when you're all stressed out in the summer worrying about having too much to do, you can go and and sit for a little bit. So so that might be the place also that's where you're going to put your, I like to have fun little whimsical things. The one good thing about plastic is that you can put it outside and it's not going to, well, it will fade and get brittle with time. Plastic will, but it's, you know, it's waterproof and whatnot. So you can use plastic things or wood or whatever. Wind chimes or just little things that you don't want in the house anymore.
Yeah, little crystals. Mm-hmm. I've seen people make wind chimes out of old metal silverware. So you still have that mm-hmm. sound element in
yeah.
the trees.
Cool. Oh, that's a good idea. Yeah. Yeah. And again, driftwood is something that we have in great abundance here. And most of us, because our plants tend to grow up so much because we get so much light, I find myself constantly looking for trellises. That's the word. And trellises can be made out of driftwood or little pieces of wood that you've got put together. Whether it be for runner beans and pole beans, sweet peas. I like the idea that is done in front of one of the restaurants downtown of a big, I think they're fishing totes even, and they just take sticks and make a teepee, a tripod yeah. sort uh-huh. of thing, mm-hmm. and they grow sweet peas mm-hmm. on them. Mm-hmm. And or you could do that with cucumbers. You could do that with lots of different things. So. Mm-hmm.
Mosaics, you've always inspired me with your mosaics yep. in your garden, Mardell.
Mosaics is my thing, and I've done them on stepping stones. I've done them on the edges of my raised beds. I've done them hanging on my wall on the outside of my house. I'm now doing round balls that I'm putting on rebar and stuffing mm-hmm. it into the ground. So,
and what about penny balls? If you put pennies, yes. they'll keep the slugs away.
Yeah, except that the slugs are probably not going to crawl on the penny balls anyway. Because the way slugs work is that if they crawl on copper, it'll kill them, basically. Mm-hmm. So that's why you can put it around the edge of your garden and the slug won't come into right. your garden. So yeah. unless you've got some masochistic slugs that want to go and crawl on a penny ball. But they're pretty. They're pretty.
They are.
One of my favorite things is... Mandy, in your garden is, I love your cement leaves. And so in two sentences, tell me how you did that.
Rhubarb leaves, mounds of sand, cement on leaf, dry.
So you basically put the leaf in the sand in the shape that you want. You pour cement on it, and the cement, and so the sand is with the leaf is your form.
Pretty much.
Yeah. Okay.
Yeah.
So if you're interested in figuring out I've seen them in magazines and whatnot. Yeah. If you're interested in that, we've got a couple people in this town who are experts on that and have done a lot of it.
Yeah.
Courtney and you have
yeah,
both
I
done.
Yeah, I did that with Courtney years ago, and then we went really wild and we painted them. Mm-hmm.
They were
and we
beautiful.
We went crazy and sold them at farmers markets, and then we had an overflow left over, and I actually took the unpainted ones, and I needed another wall for one of my raised beds that mm-hmm. were more mounds, and so I have rock wall mm-hmm. around part of it, and then the other half moon of it is all the leaves.
Oh,
so
cool.
So when you look, it's just a dozen of the gray leaves poking up,
oh,
and it's
nice.
Cool because it melds in with the landscape, mm-hmm. and I feel like the natural gray matches with all the river rock, and mm-hmm. so it just
cool.
kind of, it works.
Yeah, cool. I have to come and see that one. I haven't
yeah.
seen it.
It's fun.
Old teapots, old bits of color that somebody else has created color in teapots and whatnot. Bring those into your garden. Upcycle stuff. Another thing we should mention is birdhouses and bird baths that brings in natural things. And go to Pinterest, go to magazines. Like Mandy says, going to gardens and whatnot, but go find a place to be inspired, and it'll trigger ideas.
Yeah.
All right.
Yep.
So
I want to say
inspiration.
I want to say one more thing about this is don't get impatient with yourself. Mandy and I have both talked about it's been an evolving process. So give yourself time, let it evolve.
And have fun.
And have fun.
And have fun. Yep. And I always have fun when the garden talk is on. Thank you so much for coming.
Thank you, Joni. Okay.
Okay, right. Mardell and Mandy, the garden talk. Have a great day, gals.